And this morning we hear from the Bible, from the Gospel of Matthew, from chapter 28. After the Sabbath, as Sunday morning was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled the stone away, and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid that they trembled and became like dead men. The angel spoke to the women. "You must not be afraid," he told them. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised just as he said. Come and see the place where he was lying. Now go quickly now and tell his disciples. He has been raised from death, and now he is going to Galilee ahead of you. There you will see him. Remember what I have told you." And so they left the tomb in a hurry, afraid and yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Peace be with you." They came up to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. "Do not be afraid," Jesus told them. "Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The Easter story, according to Matthew, contains two amazing events. The resurrection, of course, is one of them. But the other one we tend to overlook because we're not aware of its significance. Now let's remember the setting. The Sabbath day of rest had come to an end with sunset on Saturday night. As dawn was breaking on Sunday morning, two women, both named Mary, two women returned to the tomb where the linen-shrouded body of Jesus had been placed. Now, sometimes we forget that in addition to the 12 disciples, there was a larger group of men and women that had been following Jesus and the disciples since his days teaching and preaching to the people in the region of Galilee to the north. And some people in that larger crowd had left their homes and families in order to follow Jesus and the apostles as they came down to Jerusalem. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, were two women who were part of that larger group. They were the ones returning to the tomb on this particular morning. Now, unlike the accounts told in the other Gospels, Matthew's Gospel does not say that Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, went to the tomb that morning to anoint the body with oils and spices. Matthew says that that had already happened. No, they came simply to keep vigil, to sit near the burial place, to mourn, to pray, to think, to talk, to remember. Without warning, an angel, a messenger from God, suddenly appeared with majesty so brilliant, powerful, that it immobilized those who were guarding the tomb, but not the women. The angel told the two women unimaginable good news. Jesus had been raised from death. He lives again. Now let's stop here for a moment. In that ancient culture where women were treated subserviently, in that culture where women weren't allowed to worship alongside the men, in a culture where women could not offer legal testimony unless a man vouched for them, in a culture like that, the first people to learn the good news were these women. The first people to be told to spread the good news were these women. The first people charged with the responsibility to tell the disciples that their master Jesus had been resurrected, raised from death to life, the first people to tell the good news were women. And why did the angel have to give the women these instructions? Well, because the disciples were hiding behind locked doors. When Jesus had been arrested, they had run away and gone into hiding, fearing for their own safety. They worried that the hatred and violence directed at Jesus might spread to them. They didn't know if or when or from where that threat might come. We could say that the disciples had self-quarantined for their own safety. Right now, we may be identifying with the Easter experience of the disciples more than ever before. With all of us in Ohio and many people all around the world living under public health orders to stay at home, we too are hiding behind locked doors, so to speak, on account of threatening conditions that we can neither see nor control. And yet, while this necessary imposed separation is uncomfortable, it's not preventing the spread of God's word of hope. Now, it's natural for us to see the Easter event as proclaiming the greatness and power of Jesus. We might liken the events of Easter to some story of a superhero who appears to be inescapably bound by the chains of death, only to suddenly and unexpectedly summon superhuman strength and shatter the bonds that bind him, rising up triumphantly in a display that shows the hero's power and the villain's weakness. In fact, some English translations of the Bible encourage that impression when they say that Jesus has risen, suggesting that something that Jesus did to himself. But the original Greek words used by the Gospel writers are more accurately translated that Jesus has been raised, not that Jesus has risen. The difference, of course, is that Jesus didn't raise himself from his condition of true and total death. God raised Jesus from the infinite abyss of death. God brought up new life, true life, everlasting life in the resurrected Christ. God's promise of resurrection is for us as well. As St. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4:14, we know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus to life, will also raise us up with Jesus and take us into his presence. Even now, Christ calls us to follow in his footsteps, learning to live lives full of unconditional love and acceptance, learning to live lives of gracious mercy and forgiveness, learning to live lives of generous compassion and abounding hope. We're called to entrust our lives to the risen one, to follow in his footsteps. God blesses us with the promise of resurrection. In the Gospel of John, Jesus himself said, "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come to you and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." The joyful irony of this Easter is that our church building is closed, and yet our faith is perhaps more visible than ever. We are worshiping God despite not being able to gather together. We are praising God despite inconveniences and true hardships that afflict each one of us in some way or another. We are serving God through simple words of friendliness and small gestures of kindness, as well as acts of true sacrifice, not only toward loved ones and acquaintances, but for the sake of strangers near and far. And through all this, we are the ones being blessed. As happened to the women who went to the tomb to keep vigil, God's messenger now charges us to hear the good news and to share it. Our Lord and Master lives. Jesus has been raised. Alleluia.